It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store here in Mobile, Alabama. And we're located in downtown Mobile at 558 St. Francis Street. That's at the corner of St. Francis and Warren. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. And you can find us on www.cannabama.com, C-A-N-N-A-B-A-M-A.com. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook and on Instagram at, I think it's at Cannabama. At Cannabama Jen is me. I wanted to, as the very first thing I do, be to say a little something about the significance of the day. I do believe it is a very deserved holiday. We celebrate the life and the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking about this last night. He is most known as a civil rights leader and a pastor. And this man spent his whole life standing up for others, fighting for people who had no voice, and you know, he lost his life for it. And I don't know that we've had a figure, to me, in history since him that is more deserving of a holiday. That's my personal opinion. They don't make people like him anymore. And that's tragic, and it's our loss. But anyway, I just wanted to recognize the day and talk about a couple of my favorite MLK quotes. You know, if y'all just didn't realize that I like to talk about stuff that nobody wants to talk about too. And Lord knows if I had 1 ounce of the integrity and just awesomeness that he had in his pinky finger. But he has so many great quotes about standing up for others and about loving people and about doing for others. And so I was reading some last night and picked a couple. One of my favorites is, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." And I know here in Alabama, we sure could use some help. I feel like sometimes it's a total solo, and I could use a choir as far as advocacy and education. And sometimes I feel like I'm not making a dent at all. But the other one that I found that I love the most is, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" So, you know, in the spirit of that and all the things that this man represents, I would challenge you to ask yourself that more on a daily basis. I know I should ask myself more, what are you doing for others? And that's the spirit of what we want to do at Cannabama. We want to offer you free education, answer your questions, ease your fears, and then help you make the right choice to improve your health. So anyway, we just want to honor him today, and we're going to move on and talk to somebody who talks to powerful people in the cannabis industry. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Amy Hogan, and Amy is a cannabis writer, and I love words, so I'm super pumped about this. In my next life, I want to be a writer and a cannabis writer. So Amy does research and writes about all kinds of people and products and innovation in the industry. She interviews famous figures and powerful leaders. That's one of her strongest skill sets, she says. It's appeared in print and digital media, including Women in Weed, Marijuana Goes Mainstream, Modern Marijuana, The Complete Guide to CBD, where she wrote about me, and Vanguard, which is a female and black-owned publication about women, for women in weed and in cannabis. So she's helped launch celebrity magazines In Touch and Closer, contributed to Life and Style, People.com, the travel site Afar.com, and the Endometriosis Foundation of America's blog, The Blossom. So I'm so excited. Amy, are you with us?
Hi, Jennifer. I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with you tonight on Martin Luther King Day.
Yes, I know. What a day. I told you earlier, it'll be fun to turn the tables and me get to ask you the questions.
I feel awkward right now.
No, I can visually remember where I was when we talked on the phone because I was so excited to be doing my first real magazine interview.
I know, you were a hard woman to get a hold of.
Last year we were furiously trying to open two new stores and failing terribly at it in the middle of, you know, the height of this craziness. And I was hard. It was my birthday weekend. That's probably the only reason you ended up getting me at all. I was at a hotel. Well, welcome to the show. I am so happy to get to talk to you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you did before cannabis, if you did anything before cannabis, and kind of how you got into writing for cannabis publications?
Sure. Well, I got a degree in creative writing and from Susquehanna University in Pennsylvania. So this is all crazy for a little girl who grew up on a dead-end lane in the middle of a cornfield in rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
After college, I worked as a beat reporter at the local newspaper for a little while, where I covered, like, the fire station got a new headlight and the police got a new siren. And somehow I sent out, like, 50 resumes in the hopes of getting something. And I got one call back, and it was for a magazine called In Touch. And it was in New Jersey, right outside of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And the only information I could find out about an In Touch magazine was like a hardcore gay magazine. I had no idea what I was in for. But it turned out to be this new celebrity tabloid they were launching.
That's hilarious.
I got hired as the editorial assistant and spent 8 years there.
Wow.
During that time, I helped make Kim Kardashian a household name.
Wow.
And then bounced around to a few other magazines. I helped launch Closer, which was kind of like the geriatric version of In Touch. We dealt with like the older celebrities.
Yeah.
And then after about 20 years in celebrity entertainment weeklies, I decided to turn my focus to my one true love, which is cannabis.
All right.
And luckily, I had a friend who was a photo editor. She recommended me for an article in Women in Weed magazine, and I wrote about how to talk to your kids about smoking pot.
Wow.
And from there, a cannabis career was born.
That's great. Oh, I'd like to read that article myself. I know that that a lot of people, a lot of parents smoke, a lot of moms smoke, and you and I talked about this a little bit, but, you know, I think that... I've seen a meme float around that says, you know, mommy needs a joint should be just as acceptable as mommy needs a glass of wine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
I think we are trying not to
kill our children.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a reason cannabis sales have skyrocketed during the pandemic.
Yes, homeschool.
All of us that are trying to juggle working from home and virtual school need some sort of relief, whether it's CBD or THC, wherever you find that. I think many people have found it to be a healthier alternative to use on a daily basis as opposed to alcohol.
Right.
So,
did you write something about cannabis-infused wine, I think I read?
Oh, yes. I have a new piece that is coming out about cannabis-infused wines, and those are fabulous because they take the alcohol out of the wine and then they infuse it with terpenes and lots of good things. And you can get it in CBD or THC varieties.
Really?
And so then you get a nice buzz on, but you don't have any hangover. They call it the new happy hour.
Wow. I've not seen that. Is that a new article you said?
Yeah, that one is just going to be coming out. I think that's going to be in... Oh, that might be. Is it going to be in the new Women in Weed or?
I bet it's in Women in Weed.
Marijuana goes mainstream. I'll have to look into that. So many of them.
They have such pretty covers.
I saw
a hot pink one the other day, and I was like, Wow, that's so pretty. to get to be in one of those. well, you know, we've got basically a woman-owned magazine somewhere here on the Gulf Coast, I've heard. And I was just thinking that local magazine might be fun to do as a lady, you know.
Oh, for sure.
So, let's see. You're a mom, right? You got two girls.
I am. I have two little girls.
One's a cheerleader?
Yes. Yes. Well, she's in, you know, the Pee Wee squad.
Well, of course. Little. They're little. I've seen pictures of them. They're very cute.
One's in preschool, and yeah, she's on the third grade cheerleading squad.
Oh, that's so cute. That's so cute. Well, and when we come back from the break in just a few minutes, I want to talk about being a mom and how that works, especially right now. And I want to talk about Jim Belushi. We'll be back in a minute, everybody.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're talking to Amy Hogan today. She is a cannabis writer, and she has written in all of the biggest cannabis publications and helped start some really big national magazines. Amy, tell me a little bit more about being a mom, because I'm a mom. I was only a mom for 17 years. And then thought, let me open a business in the newest industry in the planet and in the most conservative state in the country.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah,
right?
I, you know, go big or go home, right? So your girls are small, but one's in school, you said, and one's not.
Yes, I have a four-year-old who would be in preschool this year, but because of the pandemic, she's home.
Right.
And I have an 8-year-old in third grade who also, because of the pandemic, has been virtual learning since last March.
Wow.
So in many aspects, I'm blessed that I do what I do because I can do it from home. And I've always done my freelance cannabis career from home.
Right.
So when the pandemic hit, the only thing that changed for me was that now I'm suddenly trying to do interviews with, like, all heck breaking loose around me, and, you know, like video Zoom interviews are getting interrupted for snack breaks, and
oh yeah,
math problems are not being solved, and and things. So it's been a learning experience for all of us. I mean, the third grader knows more about Delta 8 than any third grader really should.
Hey. I'm glad somebody else besides me and my staff and maybe three dudes who shop in the store that really care to research it know something about Delta 8. I'm glad
she's
to hear
so
it.
Over Delta 8 at this point. She just rolls her eyes. She's like, oh, should we move on to the next cannabinoid
box? No. Well, the good thing there's plenty.
Yeah, there's hundreds to explore.
I like what you said about, let's see, what did you say about homeschooling, about I could track down an expert on nano emulsions in the Netherlands, but I can't get Scarlett to print the letter A.
I can get an interview with an expert on nano emulsions in the Netherlands, but I can't get Scarlett in preschool to print the letter A for me.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So career is going well, and motherhood is great.
Well, I don't know. The way that they learn things nowadays is so weird. I don't envy you, because my daughter's older and she's like, I have it, Mom, I have it. You know, I know how to do it. I'm like, do it, girl. Do it. Because that third grade math kicked my tail.
Oh, seriously.
I cannot imagine having to teach it that way.
I reaffirmed why I am a writer when I try to do third grade
exactly,
math.
Exactly. That's what. That's me. I love words. But please don't make me add. Please.
Right.
I am not the one to keep the checkbook or do anything on the right day. No, I can't. I can't. I'm sitting here going, my sales taxes are due tomorrow. Who's going to do it? I don't want to do it. Well, so you got to interview Jim Belushi recently, and I was so excited to get to hear about this. So tell us how it was. I mean, I know he was a huge actor, And my producer's sitting here telling me about how Anthrax wrote a song about him. And
about John Belushi.
Oh. And you know, because his brother died at Animal House, everybody loves that movie. It's crazy, especially for the era that it came out. But Jim Belushi has a huge career.
We talked about John.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes that if John had more, if cannabis was more readily available to John, that he'd still be here.
Especially as a treatment for drug addiction.
Yeah.
I told you that earlier today.
And he felt that he turned to harder drugs to try and manage pain that would have been better handled with cannabis products. And so
well, my dad died.
For growing now.
My dad died of an accidental overdose, and it was the same thing. He was an addict. And all, you know, it was all pharmaceutical. It was not street drugs. And every time someone who is struggling with that comes in to see me, I think about my dad and how crazy and unfair it is that I didn't have any skills to do that for him when he was here. You know, I think about that. Right. So I can relate to how that feels. You're doing something and you're helping other people, you know, overcome something you couldn't help someone you love, and that's really sometimes it hurts. Well,
For sure.
So I didn't realize until recently.
It was hard to get a hold of him. We spoke just like 3 days after the wildfires could have destroyed his farm. So it was really a touch and go time, and he was just getting ready to launch his Blues Brothers inspired strain in Chicago. So we got a quick phone interview in, and he was absolutely lovely. I think it's great that we talk about him today on Martin Luther King Day, because one of the things that he's super passionate about, they talked about, was his support of the Last Prisoner Project.
Oh, yeah. I was just reading about them.
You know, works to free and rehabilitate individuals who,
and they help them reintegrate,
Brown communities.
Right, they help people coming out of prison reintegrate into society, and help smooth the transition. I was just reading about it, either last night or the night before. I swear, I was just reading about it because I was looking for some specific information about different social justice organizations to have them on the show, and I was just reading about them, so I didn't realize that he was a huge supporter of them, but that's great. That's a beautiful program.
Yeah.
They do so much.
I mean, especially with such disparity in the industry between who's making money and who's still incarcerated is really one of the issues I think that we'll see, hopefully, some changes.
Right. Well,
in
I know that
future.
certain states, as they legalize or even decriminalize, expunging people's records. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, we have a bill that's halfway through the legislation. You know, it's passed the Senate. It's still got to be voted on in the House because of COVID. We haven't done that yet. But, you know, there's a lot of money in private prison is all I'm going to say. And I would like to see if they're going to let some people get rich and keep the other ones in prison. I think that's it's bad enough that every state around us is legalized and we have prisoners. But if they legalize in our own state and then keep those folks in jail or don't fix their records, you know, and get rid of the felony so they can get jobs. And, you know, my friend Tamara has an organization that helps showcase the fact that the consequences don't end when they get out of prison, and that they last their lifetime, and Cruel Consequences highlights that fact, and they're trying to change the law, you know, affect change so that people won't go to jail for it, but you know, if they're coming out, you know, expunge their records, let them have a shot at a life, because you've taken enough, you know. So I didn't realize that he was such a supporter
of that.
One of the
surprising things I've learned about cannabis, being a cannabis writer, is how many utterly, like, lovely and really nice felons there are.
There really are. People working cannabis have felonies.
I might have a few felons that shop with me. They're lovely people. They've just been caught up in the red tape of everything. And
Right.
It's a real shame. But, yeah, I love, you know, it's fascinating when I talk to all these, like, business professionals and then, like, they mentioned, you know, they have like five felonies. And I'm like, wow.
There's a lot of people in the industry because they, before it was legal, they were, you know, they, that's how they got the jobs they have today. You know,
right? I mean, they're the forefathers.
That's right. Yeah. And what's funny is I know there are women that go to prison, but you never hear about women. It's always men. I never hear about women. I mean, I know people that have like misdemeanor charges and stuff like that, but you never hear about women going to prison in, you know, for large, you know, copious amounts of felony charges. So, you know, I've always wondered why that is. If, you know, 'cause I know they're out there selling it. I know plenty of people that have. But anyway, so speaking of women, I know that you have been able to interview a lot of really amazing women in the industry, and I just wanted you to talk a little bit about that. People who are sort of paving the way, people who are in the front of this tsunami of change and law in the law in people's perception, in their level of education about cannabis and its benefits. Tell us about some of the amazing women that you've been able to talk to and what they do.
Oh man, I have talked to so many strong women. I've recently talked to Tokativity's Samantha Montanaro and Lisa Snyder, and I mean they are leading the charge for women changing the industry. They created Tokativity, and it's this entire like global cannabis community for empowering women and supporting them, and they'll meet you at whatever level you're at. And it's just so nice, you know, it's like you don't need to feel alone. Like it's like when when moms message me privately and they're like, I smoke, you know, or I eat CBD gummies, and I'm like, that's okay. Like
I know,
loud and proud, you know,
they do it in my store too. I'm like, why are you whispering in a cannabis store? We don't whisper.
Right?
If like, I think if more
good
women, would be a little ballsy, and just say, I mean, and it takes a whole lot more, you know, it takes a lot more balls. I'm sorry, guys. in a place like Alabama to admit, people still don't want their neighbors to know that they shop in my store. And I just, I find it so silly because so many people come in and they lean over and they're like, well, I smoke weed. Or, yeah, I used to smoke weed. And I'm like, you and everybody behind you, come on.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I'm, like, you know, empowering, that I, through talking to more powerful women, like filmmaker Wendy Borman, who made a movie about Puffragettes, which is about all these women that are leading the charge to raise and break the grass ceiling.
Right.
Because there is, you know, there's plenty of people that, there's plenty of men and women who don't see the disparity, and then there's plenty of women that do feel like they have to do everything
right.
10 times as hard to be taken seriously,
right.
Or they get pushed to, you know, like trimmers. Like you can trim the weed, but you can't.
Yeah, you can't sell
the
weed.
Grower, you know, the manufacturer. And
yeah.
So
well, when we come back from the next break, we'll talk a little bit more about women and weed.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. I'm your host and owner of Cannabama, the CBD store. We're talking to Amy Hogan tonight about her her career in writing in the cannabis industry. She writes for all these magazines and websites and does social media promotion for brands. And Amy, I want to go back to talk about women, because I think that women are perfect for cannabis. I do.
Absolutely.
We
don't call it the goddess plant for.
Yeah, exactly. And yes, all those pretty little ladies all in a row. I went to a 60 acre grow here in Alabama, which people still are just in awe of that. When I show them the pictures, they're like, no way, that's in Alabama. And these plants, they were like actually harvesting them while I was standing there. And so they were like 7 feet tall and 5 feet around. And I took some selfies in the field and wrote some captions like fat bottom girls and two big girls in a field. And I had a blast. I had no cell phone signal for six glorious hours. And I had so much fun with my camera. The people harvesting around me were like, look at this weirdo. You'd think she'd never seen weed before.
But first women, time on pot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in a big field, but it's pretty freaking cool. When the DEA is hovering over, you know, had three helicopters every hour. Well, I think that women are perfect for weed because we're nurturers, you know?
Absolutely.
It involves teaching, you know? We talked about that earlier today about how you have to give people the education because until it's normal, it's not legal, and it's not normal if you don't understand it.
Yeah, that's why I always hope that my stories can, you know, by telling these stories that it also provides education and information, right, and normalcy. We're breaking down,
right,
the barriers and the taboos and,
right. You know what's funny to me is
I'm a suburban mom from New Jersey, but I'm in my own way, I like to kind of undo what the DARE program did.
You know? Oh yeah. I think about that a lot, you know. That I remember, you know, I talk about when I got hooks on pain pills, and I remember the first time a doctor told me I was in withdrawal, you know, like opiate withdrawal, and I was so insulted. And the first thing I said was, I don't do drugs. I don't even smoke weed. You know, I don't even drink alcohol. And, you know, when I was offered CBD for the first time, I thought, I can't do that. That's weed. I'm in recovery. You know, that's what most people think. And,
right,
and it's a drug. It's a gateway. And I'm here to tell you it's not, because we use it as a gateway off of street drugs, off of things,
right,
that are addictive to the brain and to the body. But, you know, women are perfect because we're the nurturers. We are the teachers. I know for me, you have to love people so much in a state where nobody wants to hear what you have to say, but you know that they do need to hear it. And
right,
I think that being a woman, you know, being able to overlook their, you know, ignorance and say, you know, but you need to hear this and keep fighting. You know, I think women are fighters because we're tough as nails, you know, and we're always it's just not as common. I think I read somewhere 17% of the industry are women and minorities. And that's,
wow,
that's women and minorities. You
right,
know, as far
that's
as that's
total,
men that aren't white. So it's mostly white dudes. And I know here in Alabama they have rednecks. So, but the disenfranchised in general, you know, women are considered, you know, having the same disadvantages as people that aren't, you know, they're not Aryan, basically blonde haired, blue eyed and male. And so I think that the more strides that women can make, the better off the industry is. Do you see that?
Absolutely. I had the honor of talking to Wanda James a few months ago, and she is the gorgeous powerhouse behind the Simply Pure dispensaries, and she's also the first African-American granted a legal license for a dispensary in the United States.
Wow.
Like, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Like, yeah, it is crazy. I know a guy who was the youngest African American to be given a grow license in Alabama, and he was, you know, 26, I think, and
wow,
and he was the youngest one and one of the few. I think I know of three total that are not white men. So I may be wrong, but the ones that I know of, and I've met a lot of them or spoken to. A lot of them, and they're mostly white males. And we, you know, we just grew for the first time last year.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, and no one's fields got burned. I was super proud.
Oh,
I was. Well, you know, it's you know, you leave them out there one more day, and they're hot. And I know somebody in Alabama had to have been itching with a flamethrower. You know, we've not got a lot of fans out here, if you can believe it. So I know that the ag department has been really like on top of it, but no one got their efforts just burned to the ground, you know. And we did try some of the flour in the store. We've had Alabama flour since it was harvested, and I'm really proud because people like it. They buy it. They, you know, and they're proud that it's from Alabama.
Sure.
And in being a retailer, I get to work with a lot of these guys, and they're really cool people. They really are.
I mean, isn't it amazing to see the people when they give CBD a try, and then they come back?
Right. Especially the cocky young men.
So many people think it's like voodoo mumbo jumbo. And it's hard when you're a writer, because also my job, most of the places, like social media-wise, I can't even use the word CBD,
right,
let alone say that it can do anything or
right,
what it might
yeah,
help you with. So
yeah,
it's like selling a product without saying anything about it.
Right, yeah.
And basically, you're like, and then, of course, they're like, well, I didn't feel anything. But the trick with CBD is like, well, you won't feel it till you stop. That
right,
once you feel bad, you'll see what it did for you.
Well, and I still think that there is a lot of bad information within the good information, because I've spoken to so many people that have tried it and they're like, yeah, it's okay, but, and I'm like, no, I still don't think you got it right though. I still think that try this.
You're
because
right,
sometimes tweaking the product itself, just the strain that made that
sure,
brand's product, can make a huge difference in someone's health. And then the serving size, you bump it 5-10 milligrams, and it changes everything, you know, because they'll say, oh, it's great for my anxiety, but I'm still in pain. Well, we bump it up 10-20 milligrams, and boom, changes their life, you know, and it's like there's the answer. And such an incredibly individual experience. And I think that, you know, I know people that have made products or that are in the industry that don't know the basic terms, and that means they don't know very much about what they're doing.
Right.
And I think it deserves more effort than that. How are you seeing, as far as retail especially, because retail is boots on the ground. We're the ones who are belly-to-belly with the customers that have no idea or a bad idea. How are you seeing people, as far as the effort that they put into education, do you get to a glimpse at retail overall, or brands at least?
Like, the brands are actually trying
yes,
to educate more.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
like the Helping
that
Friendly
more
Hemp
and
Company.
More people are accepting the COA, you
yeah,
know, and making transparency a little more
right,
obvious. And I think more and more consumers are catching on. I think the educated consumer is less likely to get their CBD from the 7-Eleven.
Right.
And more likely to do the research.
Right.
And look for a brand and become loyal to that brand, I
right,
think. I found that.
To be able to trust somebody, yeah.
But, yeah, but, I mean, even just writing, like, when you go to, like, if I'll do a gift guide or something, I mean, there are so many, like, shady CBD
uh-huh,
companies online.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Like, who would buy this, like, 3 a.m.
Right,
infomercial
right,
CBD product?
Right. 4 bottles for $5.99 shipping and handling.
Oh, like what's in that?
Yeah.
Nothing good. That
you
CBD
would put
was
that in your
on
car.
Top of like a toxic kid.
Yeah. Well, like the Helping Friendly Hemp Company, who are they're such great people. Especially Dan. Shout out to Dan. Dan always calls me, and it's like my life has fallen apart. And something catastrophic has happened, and I'm just on the verge of tears sometimes. And here comes Dan. Hey, what can I do for you? Out of the blue.
Helping and Friendly.
Yes, Helping and Friendly. And their educational material is the best I've ever seen. And I've seen some pamphlets and some booklets and some cards, and they have such a thorough education, printable material collection. They have
yeah,
little booklets that have beautiful photography and very detailed, but they're broken down into separate booklets on topics, because we all know in what you do, what I do, what they do, there's a lot of information. And you have to give it in digestible bites or or it's too much. And sometimes I can see people's eyes explode on the back of their skull when I've said too much and gone too far, and they're like, you know, no, I am now catatonic. But it gets to be a lot. But they have this booklet on the endocannabinoid system and on, you know, immunity and on terpenes, and they're very specific, and it's not just a 5 bullet points on a tiny card and a pretty picture. And have you seen anybody that has such thorough education? I know you know those guys.
I know. I love them. Not to that extent. I mean, there are some other great companies. I will
tell
you, there's a great website called CBDValidator.com.
Really?
And you can type in, and they have thousands in their database, and you type in the brand, and it will give you, or it will rate it, and it will tell you everything in it.
Really?
And it will provide a link to buy it. It's
wow.
Awesome. So,
okay. Is that, and that's not one of those, because I see these crappy little websites all the time that say the top 10 CBD products, and it's always the worst brands I've ever seen. And
oh,
I'm like,
yeah, no,
yeah, that's not a real thing.
You can't buy your way to
somebody
the top
pay
of CBD
for that.
Validator.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That, I give that a shout out because I find that to be the best in the business for just checking it. Like, I like Moon Mother Hemp products, and they get a very high rating on there.
Okay.
So I always recommend go ahead and plug in a company name to CBDValidator.com before you buy it, and just see
right
what the rating is, and if it has, you know, if they have a COA, it'll be up there, and
right
they rate it on like cost and effectiveness and just everything. It's really, it's a
well,
really
that's cool.
Smart.
Well,
database.
I'll be interested to go and plug all my brands in there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Yeah,
I can.
That's I've never heard of that. That's a good resource. I'm gonna have to put that up in the store somewhere. And I've never tried Moon Mother Hemp. That's one of the brands I have not tried, so
and that's
now
a woman,
I have to.
That's a women-run company, and they have some really nice women-centric products.
That's awesome. I have a couple of things coming up that I have been trying not to talk about, and it's so hard because no one will expect what I'm about to do. And I like it that way. I'm
well,
a sharer.
I better be the one that gets to break that news.
I'm a sharer, but I'm trying to do better. When we come back, Amy, we're going to wrap it up and talk about what you see in the future. We'll be back in just
okay.
a minute.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, and we're talking to Amy Hogan, who is a cannabis writer. Amy, let's get right to it so we can cram it all in. real quick, what do you think about this continuing, slow rolling train, but of legalization and decriminalization? You think that will federally legalize one day?
I do. I think we're going to see legalization and decriminalization spreading out across America. I think that, it's a no-brainer at this point, and more states are just going to keep
right.
flipping.
I think
and
Birmingham is the only place in Alabama that is decriminalized, to my knowledge, which is ironic because they like to arrest people up there in central Alabama. I think that's why my counterparts in the Birmingham area are always a little hesitant every time the ag department sneezes the wrong way because they're so afraid. You know, my friend Patrick got arrested, and they raided his store, and the only weed he had was a little personal use, I think. But, whatever. I don't know. They were determined, I think, to imply that that means all the big bags in his store are weed, and you know, he had guns and cash. I'm like, yes, it's Alabama. It's guns and cash are like our motto or something. You know, everybody's got guns and cash. I'm sure there's some that have them in the mattress and the coffee can in the backyard, but they gave him a bond of $1.5 million, and he lost his business. He had just set up a commercial kitchen. and was about to start making edibles for Cannabama too. And he's adorable and so sweet, and he is not a criminal. And it's a shame because he wants to work in the industry like he was doing so badly, but you know it destroyed his business. They confiscated everything, and who can survive that? So, but he lives in a community that has decriminalization in the city limits of Birmingham. He's outside the city limits. That's how ridiculous it is. You know, a couple of blocks right. away, you know, maybe, or 10 minutes away. Birmingham is huge. And I'm like, everything is 30 minutes away in Birmingham. It's 30 minutes. It's like, what city are we in? This is crazy. But there's no one else and nowhere else in Alabama that's decriminalized. I know in Louisiana, my home state, the city of New Orleans is decriminalized, but you cannot buy hemp flower. And you cannot buy a vape that's CBD. It's just ridiculous.
The laws are crazy.
It really is.
Hopefully, you know, that's why we're all going to keep working and talking
right.
and
yeah,
pushing for change and just something that makes sense because it's
right. Yes, there's a THC edible
kind of like
truck.
The Wild West and the yeah. rules make no sense.
Yeah, there's a THC edibles RV sitting outside the CVS on Canal Street in New Orleans, and you cannot smoke a CBD joint. It's like, what is happening?
So backwards.
Can everybody get on the same page, please? Please.
I hope so.
Yeah. So well, but that's what you do, and that's what I do. We put out accurate information and education and normalizing it. I'm sure every time I've seen some of your articles and the photography of these women. You know, and they're just normal, beautiful, educated, strong women. And you know, even like the Helping Friendly guys, they're just normal guys, even though
yeah.
they go to a lot of concerts. but, you know, they're just normal people. And we're, you know, I don't know what people, everybody can't be Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, you know? But, well, what about sales during the pandemic? You know, have you been hearing any rumblings about? I mean, I know who was it? Somebody recently legalized January 1st, and they were open for the first time. I can't remember what state it was in, but it might have been Minnesota or something. I don't know, but people were there at midnight in line, ready
oh,
to
I'm
go,
sure.
and they make a couple $100,000 in a day. You know,
yep.
I know Canada has been you know just killing it up there. But
sure.
do you see or hear anything about increase in sales for weed or CBD because of the pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have an article coming out in the complete guide to CBD, which was all about pandemic sales. And there was a pattern. Every person I talked to that has a business said at the very beginning of the pandemic, business dropped off because everybody was scared. No one left their house. We didn't know what to do. Maybe
mm-hmm.
our internet sales didn't work. We weren't prepared
right.
to go online. And then as soon as everybody, look, maybe the stimulus check hit or everyone got their internet sales
right.
up and running, from April on, they have skyrocketed. Every business. When I wrote about the cannabis-infused wine, Rebel Coast Wine ran out of wine. They sold completely out and had to restart production
wow.
in the middle of the pandemic. So it was a very unexpected boost after a really scary time.
Right.
So as long as you were able to get your like brick and mortar dispensary up and running online, you stood a chance and probably thrived.
Right, right. Well, I didn't get that experience, but I would have if I hadn't taken on 2 new stores a week before
right.
the shutdowns.
Crazy.
My death spiral wasn't because I didn't have sales, because we still have sales, but it was because I took on a project that who knew it would be doomed to fail. But you know, and that's been the craziest ride ever. We had the best first year probably in history. I mean, we had a stupid good year.
I mean.
And
I
then we had
story.
A worst
you
year of our
in
life.
A tiny little corner of the hair salon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I did. I'm just glad not to be back in the corner of the hair salon. I did talk to another business that is in a hair salon. They share a building, and I'm like, this would be too ironic. we've had you know, during COVID, we were supposed to be voting for our bill, and they didn't get to that. But one woman that I would love to interview, who is on the medical board for medical marijuana bill here in Alabama, is Vivian Figures, and she was able to squeeze in this last minute amendment to the bill, adding PMS and menopause to the list of conditions. And the first thing I said was, dear God, she just qualified every woman in Alabama for a medical card. Thank you. You know, like, I got to talk to, I got to shake this lady's hand. I need a Vivian Figures t-shirt. I mean, how cool is that? Because, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, well, hey, it's rough out here. And between the PMS and the homeschooling, I mean,
right?
Lord,
I mean,
help them children.
There's a reason we need our hemp.
Right, right. So, you are, what do you think is the going to continue to be the biggest trend as far as the products?
I think we're going to see I think we're going to see more from the minor cannabinoids.
Yes.
I think we're going to see more things, CBDs paving the way for things like CBG,
yes,
and CBN.
We were the first to sell both of those products in our area. We love minor cannabinoids. I'm hearing things
CBG.
About...
The first time I tried CBG, I was like, oh, I think really that's what's been missing from my life.
Right, yeah. Well, and you know, they say that some people who don't respond as well to CBD or to a high CBD full spectrum... CBG being that mother cannabinoid sort of fills in whatever's missing, especially for people who have less than normal amount of receptors. Because, you know, that guy at everybody knows a guy who's always smoking and never gets high. He probably has less cannabis receptors, and it takes a lot more to affect him. But and people who have more are very sensitive. But the CBG, it just sort of fills in whatever cracks you have. And we love that. And CBN, too. We love CBN. I love CBN. Sleepy sleep, please.
So, yeah, I think the mixes, I think we're going to see more personalized mixes because it is such an individualized experience.
Right,
think,
right. To be able to kind of create different formulas.
Everybody can benefit from it in different ways, and I think
right.
that's really the future. And they're so expensive to make, and, you know, THC
right.
and CBD are
right.
kind of the thing, so it's hard to get someone to just... you know, make a niche
yeah.
industry, but I really think we're going to see
yeah.
that becoming the
right.
bigger trend.
All right, Amy, I'm sorry we're out of time. It was so great to have you
great
on the show.
To
Thank
you.
You so much. We will see you guys next week on Sweet Home Cannabama. Thank you.